Okay, what we're going to discuss tonight, we left off before Yom Tov, we were discussing Sir Malachos of Shabbos. Your husband had requested that we do a little bit of Svira tonight, some Halachos of Svira. If there's time, it was good that we spent a few minutes on something else beforehand, but if we have some more time, we'll go back to those Malachos. But let's discuss a few Halachos of Svira which are important to know. Some are practical for you, some will be practical for your husbands, and just to know where they're coming from, certain Halachos. So there's really two aspects to the days of Svira. We'll start off with the aspects of counting Svira. Then there's the other aspect of the mornings, the Avelos, that we do during this time of Svira, because Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim passed away. That's really something else. Let's first start off with the halachos of counting Svira. So it's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says in the Torah, in Parshas Emor, it says, "V'safartem lachem." Mimachras Hashabbos, v'safartem lachem, you should count for yourselves. Mimachras Hashabbos. Now you would think Mimachras Hashabbos literally means from the day after Shabbos, but we don't translate it like that. We translate Mimachras Hashabbos means from the day after Pesach starts. So Mimachras Machar means tomorrow, and Shabbos, we have a tradition that Shabbos over here means Pesach, and it means the day after Pesach starts. So Pesach starts on the 15th. Of Nisan, so the day after Pesach starts is the second day of Pesach, the 16th of Nisan. So starting from the 16th of Nisan, miyom haviachem es haomer, from the day that you bring the omer hatnufa, starting at that point, you should count 49 days, 7 weeks, and Pasuk actually says 50 days. But starting from that time, you should count Svira. So if somebody asks you, where does it come from that we count Svira? The answer is, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk in the Torah says we need to count Svira. So now, there is a big discussion. Nowadays, is the mitzvah of counting Svira, is that a obligation mid d'oraisa? Or is that only nowadays, is it only a mitzvah mid d'rabbanan? Right? I'm sure you know my style already. You know I like to get involved in what's a d'oraisa, what's a d'rabbanan. And we're going to see, especially by Svira, it's very important to know if it's a d'oraisa or a d'rabbanan. Some say that nowadays it's Daraisa. It's a pasuk in the Torah that we need to count Svira. No reason why it should change. Even nowadays, the Rambam says like that, and others, that nowadays it is also an obligation mid Daraisa. We'll get to men and women, we'll get to that in a moment. There are those that say that no, nowadays it's only a mitzvah mid Rabbanan. It's only rabbinically commanded to count Svira nowadays. It's what we call Zecher LeMikdash. It's a remembrance for the Mikdash. And the reason is because we just read the Pasuk that says that it's from the day that you bring the Omer. The day that they brought the Karban Omer in the Beis HaMikdash was the second day of Pesach, the 16th of the month of Nisan. Nowadays, of course, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, so we don't have the Karban Omer. So there are those that say that since we don't have the Karban Omer, and the pasuk seems to depend one on the other, that you count from the time that you bring the omer, so there are those that say that nowadays it's only midirabanan, it's only a rabbinic commandment, a rabbinic mitzvah to count Svira. So now, what's the difference if it's deraisa or derabanan? Either way, I'm going to go ahead and do it. So one difference is the following. Let's say I'm not sure if I count it. I'm not sure if I count it or not. So the halacha is, anytime you have a doubt in regards to a derabanan, so we have many leniencies by derabanans when you have a doubt in regards to something. So you're not obligated to go ahead and count again if perhaps you counted. Now let's say you're 90% sure you didn't count, maybe that's different. But if you have a legitimate doubt, you're not sure, did I count or did I not count? I don't remember. So you're not obligated to go ahead and count again, and for sure you would not go ahead and make a bracha, because when you have something in mitzvah that's only midrabanan, we're allowed to be lenient, and we assume that you did do it and you don't have to go count again. Another difference, that it's only midrabanan, is very important. And this is especially important for men, but it could be nogea for women as well. A lot of times in shul, a man will be in shul, and the shul is davening, and I think we mentioned before that we mentioned when we discussed halachos of shalosh shudas, that by shkia, which is sunset, there is a period of time that's what we call bein hashmashos. It's like a quasi time. It's in between day and night. We're not sure if it's day or if it's already night. Once tzeis hakochavim comes, once comes three stars, then we know for a fact it is for sure night. How many minutes after sunset, after Shkia, is Tzeis HaKochavim? Some say 50 minutes, some say 72. Some people are makbid on 72. Many times men will be in Shul during this Bein HaShemashos period. Let's say it's only 25 minutes after sunset. And the Tzibur, the congregation, they'll count Sfira. Now we know that many times we're very careful to only, let's say you want to break a fast, we only break our fast after Tzeis HaKochavim. We only do Malacha when Shabbos is over, or Matzah Shabbos, after Tzeis HaKochavim. We also have to hear Avdallah, or say Baruch HaMavdim Kodesh Chol. But we're always careful that whenever we have to wait till it's nighttime, we always make sure to wait until after Tzeis HaKochavim. So how come we find so many times that you have in Shul, the men will count even during the time of Bein HaShemashos? So the answer is, because since Bein HaShemashos is a doubt, perhaps it's day, perhaps it's night, and nowadays we paskin that counting sphere is only midrabanan. So since everyone is there together in Shul, and this way you know they're there, they'll remember, you never know what's going to happen, they're going to come home and maybe they'll forget. So since we paskin that it's only midrabanan, we're able to be lenient and we're able to count even at the time of Bein HaShemashos. So if your husband comes home from Shul and he says, oh, I counted sphere already, you know, he tells you to count, so how could you have counted already? Look at the time. It's still only, you know, a half hour after Shkia. That's where it's coming from. Since it's only midrabanan, we're more lenient, and we can count even during Bein HaShemashos. So you have your children and you want to put them to sleep. So you want them to go count sphere before they go to sleep. But if you look at the watch and it's still, you know, it's Bein HaShemashos time. For children, for sure, since we paskin, it's only midrabanan nowadays, and it's during this Bein HaShemashos time, maybe it's day, maybe it's night, we're allowed to be lenient, and you want to put your kids to sleep, you're allowed to have them count during the time of Bein HaShemashos. They can't count before sunset, before Shkia, but once Shkia has arrived, then we say they are allowed to count. Are women obligated to count Sfira or not? So why would they not be obligated to count? Whether it's Daraisa or Darabanan, why would perhaps they not be obligated to count?
Time.
Right, because it's a time-bound mitzvah. It would seem to be that you could only count Sfira, right, that's a fact, you could only count Sfira during these 49 days. It's not the rest of the year. The same way Shofar is only on Rosh Hashanah and Lulav is only on Sukkot. This mitzvah of Sfira is only during the times between Pesach and Shavuos. It's only during this time. So that's why many are of the opinion that it is a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama. There are those that say that it's not a mitzvah Saseh Shazman Grama. A great discussion why that's the case. I'm not going to get into that. But most people paskin that women are not obligated to count Sfira. Okay? Now, we've mentioned before that any mitzvah that women are not obligated to do because it's time-bound mitzvah, they can volunteer to do the mitzvah. We discussed this by Shofar, we discussed, I think, by Lulav. There are cases where you're allowed to volunteer and do the mitzvah. Mishnah Berurah says that since women have accepted upon themselves over the generations to count Sfira, therefore now they should definitely go ahead and count Sfira. They have now accepted it upon themselves as a chova, as an obligation, and even though technically really they would not be obligated, but they have accepted it upon themselves, then now you are obligated. And this is true, not that every woman gets to decide for herself. When she turns bas mitzvah, or when she, you know, comes and follows mitzvahs to count Sfira, now she's able to decide. It doesn't work like that. Women over the years, over the generations, have accepted upon themselves to count Sfira, and therefore every woman is obligated to count Sfira. One of my students, when I taught Sfira in class last week, one of my students said that, you know, that no, she was told that they don't have to count Sfira. You know, I'm sure she was told by somebody reliable, or whoever told her heard from somebody reliable, but I don't know of such a thing, that there's really no reason why women, why girls, should not go ahead and count Sfira. Now the question is, should they count with a bracha? Is that what you're about to say? No. Should they, you have a question?
Not a question.
Okay.
We'll get to
them. Yeah. Should they make a bracha? Now that the Mishnah Berurah discusses as well. Why would they not be obligated to make a bracha? Meaning there's two things. There's the bracha, Sher Kitchana b'mitzvosu v'sivan while Sfira sa'omer, and then there's the actual counting. Let's say Hayom Yom Echad ba'omer. So for sure they should go ahead and count. Should they make a bracha? So Ashkenazim, we paskin that you're allowed to make a bracha. If you volunteer to do a mitzvah, you're allowed to go ahead and make a bracha. But over here, maybe they shouldn't. Because there are those that say that if a person forgets one day totally, let's say they miss day number 5, they miss at night and they miss by day, they totally forget one day, there are some opinions that makes all the other brachos that you said until now, let's say you forget day 40. So then all the first 39 brachos that you said, that can turn those into a bracha levatala, into a bracha in vain. Because that opinion holds that all 49 nights, simply understood, that opinion holds that all 49 nights is one big mitzvah. And if you miss one night, even if it's night 49, that makes all of the other blessings, all the other brachos that you said until then, into bracha levatala. So therefore, those that say that since women could very well forget, now, not that women necessarily forget more than men, but it's just simply that, I think one understanding is that men go to shul. So if men go to shul, they daven ma'ariv, it's very hard for a man to miss sfira. If he's going to ma'ariv, you know, most of the time the man is going to go to ma'ariv, and he'll daven in shul, or even if he doesn't daven in shul, but he's make sure it's to daven ma'ariv, a lot of women do not daven ma'ariv, when they daven, they'll know to count sfira. Surely if they're in shul, they'll be able to count sfira when they hear the tzibur, when they hear the congregation saying sfira, so chances are they'll be able to remember. But a woman, a lot of times, she doesn't have a ma'ariv, and even if she does, she doesn't go to shul. So chances are, very possible, she's going to forget, and therefore, the Mishnah Berurah brings that there are those that say the woman should not make a bracha. They should count, but they should not make a bracha, because perhaps, you know, chances are they're going to forget. However, the Alpaiskim that say that nowadays we have plenty of ways for the women to remember to count sfira. We have calendars that we hang up on our refrigerator, and you could call certain phone numbers that you'll get a text message to remind you to count sfira. There are plenty of places that say, I think Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says like that, that if you have a way to remind you to count with a bracha, then there's really no reason to count without a bracha. You should count with a bracha. Now, if you know from previous years, for whatever reason, it just ends up happening that you always end up forgetting one day, then you shouldn't count with the bracha, even starting day number one. And a man is like that also. For whatever reason, every year, at some point, he always forgets, then it's a shame, but he should count also without a bracha. But if you're confident that you're able to count and you'll be able to remember each and every night, then you should be counting with a bracha. If, for whatever reason, you have not been counting with a bracha, then for sure you should count every night, but you do not, you would still count, let's say, without a bracha, but you still should make sure to count every night. That's another couple of halachos as far as counting sfira. This could be, you're familiar with these halachos, we're not going to get into the intricacies of why this is the halacha, but we count at night. If you forget at night, you realize the next morning, or the next day, that, I didn't count sfira last night. So the halacha is that you should count sfira then, but you count without a bracha. You count without a bracha. You only say the bracha of Asher Kachonu B'Mitzvah V'Tzivonu Al Sfiras Omer only if you count that night. But if you count the next day, so you saved yourself, you counted, but you count without a bracha. The halacha is that if you miss one day totally, you miss the night and you miss the day, then the halacha is that you still continue to count the next day, but you count without a bracha. And the reason is, like we said before, since there is an opinion that if you miss one day, then that ruins the entire mitzvah because it's all one big mitzvah. So then you can't continue to count with a bracha if you missed one day because maybe this is a bracha in vain again, again, and again. So you should count, but you count without a bracha if you missed one day totally. If you missed that night, but you count by day because you saved yourself, then you are allowed to continue to count even with a bracha. Now it's a complicated reason why that's the case. It's based on a double doubt. Not going to get into why, but that is the halacha. If you miss at night, and then you count by day, so then the next day, you continue to count, even with a bracha. Okay? That's as far as the counting. You had something about the counting?
No.
You
did it.
I did it. Okay. Yeah. Very good. I've given other classes to men why that's the reason why there's a double doubt, what exactly the double doubt is. It's a complicated cheshbon based on two opinions, a Bahag and the Rabbeinu Tam. It's not important to know right now. What's main important to know is the actual halacha. If you forget at night, you count the next day without a bracha, and then you could continue to count with a bracha. If for whatever reason, let's say one of you forgot one of the nights and you're no longer counting with a bracha, but for sure that does not mean that you should no longer count at all. You should still count, even if you missed the first 20 days. The first 30 days, the first 40 days, you still should continue, you should count the last days. Yeah, there's no reason.
Because I only lasted one day this year.
I always say that the second night is the hardest, I always say the second night is the hardest night to remember because you're not used to it yet.
Yeah.
And the first night, everyone's excited. Oh, tonight you count three. Tonight. So the second night, no one's excited anymore, unfortunately, and you're still not used to it. So the second night is always the hardest night. Also, it's Matzah Yantif. You're going into Chol HaMoed, and it's a hard night to remember. But even if you know, it's a shame you missed. But
I
still
thought it was just finished. I didn't realize.
So you still count without a bracha, but you say Hayom Chamisha Yamim Lomer, Hayom Shisha Yamim, whatever it is, you just count at night.
And I put it on my night table, and I always say my brachas before I go to bed. I put these first calendar, the Yom HaKal, and then I have never had them forgotten.
That's good.
It's always there when I go to bed.
That's like what Shlomo Zalman was saying, that we have nowadays ways to, you have on your night table, on the refrigerator, certain ways, then definitely would be good if you could say a bracha. Okay, that's as far as the halachos of counting Sfiras HaOmer. There's a separate section of halacha, which we mentioned before, and that is the mourning, the avelos, that we do during the days of Sfira. Really, there's no connection between the two. There's the halachos of counting Sfira between Pesach and Shavuos, and then there is the days of mourning, because Rabbi Kiva had his 24,000 Talmidim that passed away during this time, and it happens to be during this time, so that we have certain avelos, certain acts of joy that we refrain from doing, but it's really not connected. I'm sure that there are plenty of mefarshim, plenty of commentaries that do find a connection between the two, but technically speaking, there really is no connection between the two. So there are certain things that we do not do during this time. Number one. Well, first, before we discuss what the halachos are, you may be familiar that there's two, what we call, there's the first days of Sfira, and there's the second days of Sfira. That's what your husband had mentioned that you wanted to just touch on. So there's two customs as far as when we have these days of mourning. The span of time that the students of Rabbi Kiva passed away was a span of 33 days. The simple explanation is that it's just simply based on a doubt in history. We're not sure when did they die exactly. Didn't they die on the first 33 days of Sfira, starting from Pesach up until what we call Lag BaOmer? Or did they die on the last 33 days of Sfira? Now, of course, there's many days that overlap in between, which is where we're holding right now. We're holding right now in that overlapping period. But the first 33 days or the last 33 days. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that you're allowed to hold either one. You could do the first day's Sfira if you'd like. You could hold of the second day's of Sfira if you'd like. And Rav Moshe Feinstein says you're allowed to switch from one year to the other. You're allowed to switch from one year to the other. If you 1 year you could do this, 1 year you could do that, back and forth, whatever you want. Not everybody says like that. Rabbi Aaron Kotler doesn't hold like that. But that's what Moshe Feinstein says, that whatever is convenient. There's some people that they always hold the first day Sfira. There's some people, like my father-in-law, who always holds the second day Sfira. There's some people that, you know, they go back and forth. That's as far as the days of Sfira, which ones that you hold. So the second days of Sfira start from Rosh Chodesh Iyar, and they go up until Shavuos. So now that we've already passed Rosh Chodesh, it was the past 2 days, so then of course that time has started. Anyone who holds the second days of Sfira, the Mishnah Brura says that starts from the first day of Rosh Chodesh. The first day of Rosh Chodesh really is the 30th day of Nisan. The 30th day of Nisan, right? Because when we have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh Iyar always has 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, so the first day of Rosh Chodesh is the last day of the previous month, and the second day of Rosh Chodesh is the first day of the next month. It's always like that when there's 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, except Rosh Hashanah, because that's not really Rosh Chodesh. But the Mishnah Brura says that we start from Sunday. This year was Sunday, Monday, so already Sunday started. Anyone who held the second day Sfira, Sunday started all the halachos of mourning. What can't a person do during the days of Sfira that they are holding? So one thing is that they're not allowed to get haircuts, right? That's the most famous. You're not allowed to get a haircut. Somebody who is married or is in marriageable age is allowed, or Moshe Feinstein says, that they're allowed to cut other part of the hair and other parts of the body. They're allowed to shave their legs, let's say, because they want to be able to look presentable to their husbands. Or if a girl is marriageable age, even if they're not in Shidduchim, even if they're not actually dating right now, but they're old enough that it would look not nice for them to be, to not be groomed like that. So to cut the hair on the head, that they're not allowed. But other parts of the body, we say that is permitted. You may find something very interesting when it comes to haircuts. Are you from a Chofetz Chaim family?
No.
No. So there are people that are really hardcore Chofetz Chaim, meaning there's yeshivas Chofetz Chaim, and it was Miyased, it was founded based on, you know, Talmidim of the Chofetz Chaim, Rav Henoch Leibowitz's his father, Rav David Leibowitz. So they have a halacha that they follow, that for Friday, on Fridays during Sfira, for the honor of Shabbos, for Kavod Shabbos, they shave. They shave for the honor of Shabbos. Actually, one of my students is Sage from Ridge. So she smiled when I said this in class, because I know her brother-in-law. Her brother-in-law is a neighbor of mine back in Kew Gardens, and he's a real hardcore Chofetz Chaim boy. So she knew of such a halacha. And the Chofetz Chaim boys, they are told that they are allowed to shave for the honor of Shabbos. Now, where does that come from? Sfira, the morning of Sfira, the Avelos of Sfira, is not just simply, we don't just brush it away. It's a very important halacha. Where they are coming from is the following. They're coming from that honoring Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, is a mitzvah. Perhaps it's only a mitzvah midirabanan, but it is a full-fledged mitzvah. This Avelos that we have, this morning that we keep during Sfira, is only a custom. It's only a minhag. So they feel that the mitzvah of honoring Shabbos overrides the custom of the morning, the Avelos of Sfira. Most Paiskim do not go with this, but that's what their Rosh Hashiva is paskin for them. So if you do find somebody shaving on a Friday for the honor of Shabbos, you see that that's just to know, that's where it comes from. If, let's say, some of you have son-in-law one day, Bez Hashem, and they say, Chofetz Chaim, and yeah, we shave on Fridays. So most people say that no, that's part of the Avelos, that we don't shave for Shabbos. That's part of the Avelos. That's accepted. But they have that Messiah, that tradition, and those Talmidim definitely should go with that, and that's where...
So you're saying that the counting of the Omer is not like a custom. That definitely is...
The counting of the Omer, that is a pasuk in the Torah, and perhaps nowadays it's only a mitzvah midrabanan, but that's a full-fledged mitzvah. The morning is something else.
It's not,
that's based on the fact that Rabbi Kiva's students died, so what do we have connection to that? No, but since that was such a tragedy in Klal Yisrael, so we accepted upon ourselves, we have a custom to act in Avelos during this time. But that's only a minute, exactly. But the counting of the Sfira, that's a full-fledged mitzvah, either midiraisa, or as most paskin, that it's only midirabanan, but that is a full-fledged mitzvah. You find similar, perhaps some of your husbands, I don't know, not your husband, that's for sure, because I know that they shave when they go to work during Sfira. Now you may notice, you may see somebody walking down the street, and it's in the middle of the overlapping time where first day's or second day's here, and you see that he's clean shaven. So if he's a moyel, so fine, so you're allowed to shave for a bris. Or the father of the baby is allowed to shave for a bris and the sandik. But some people will get a heter. A person needs to ask a rav each and every situation. When they go to work, they'll be able to shave. Where does that come from? We don't just, I want to go to work, so I'm allowed to shave. It doesn't just work like that. But making a parnasa is a full-fledged mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to make a parnasa, to support your wife and your children. So that's a full-fledged mitzvah. The Avelos is only a derabban, is only a minhag. So perhaps in a situation where the person honestly, really, legitimately feels that he would not be able to make a parnasa if he doesn't shave, let's say for sure his boss will fire him, or for sure he's going to lose money if he doesn't shave. So then if he asks a competent, you know, rav, and they get a heter, you may see some people that they'll be able to shave during Sfira. That's where it comes from, because the Avelos is only a minute, and the shaving and the Parnasa is a full-fledged mitzvah. But of course, such a heter cannot be used lightly. Could just, you know, can't be used haphazardly whenever you want, whenever the person wants. They need to ask a shayla in each and every situation. Another halacha, which I'm sure you all know. A person is not allowed to listen to music. We have a custom, we accept that you're not allowed to listen to music during the days of Sfira. So now, and that's something that most of us keep, we don't listen to music during this time. So the question is, what is included in music? What's included in music? So one discussion that they discuss is, let's say it's not live music, it's on a tape recorder, or better said, like an MP3 player, or a CD, or on the radio. If you're not listening to live music, is that permitted or not? So most Paiskim say that that is also not permitted. It's not only live music that's forbidden, but it's also music that's not live, that I'm listening to from a CD, I'm listening from a tape recorder, or I'm listening on the radio, if you know, from some recording. Most Paiskim say that Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they say that that's also not allowed. Now those that say from Rav Huttner Rav Futner was the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, and Chaim Berlin is a yeshiva that still exists today, but Rav Futner was the Rosh Hashiva before that, and supposedly he has said that you are allowed to listen to music during Sfira, or during the 3 weeks between Shabbos HaBetamos and Tisha B'Av, if it's not live music. I know growing up in camp, I went to Camp Aguda for many years, during the 3 weeks, all of a sudden, the entire camp, you know, went to Chaim Berlin. And they say, yeah, oh yeah, my father's uncle's brother's third cousin went to Chaim Berlin, so I can listen to music. If a person comes from a Chaim Berlin family, and I was teaching it to my students, and then one of the girls raised her hand that her family is Chaim Berlin, and I know her family, and I know that they went to Chaim Berlin, so if it's a family that really sticks to Chaim Berlin, and then they have that tradition, they have that Messiah, because then to hate, they're allowed to go with that. But just to use that, yeah, people say that you're allowed to, people do say it, but if you do not have that Messiah in your family, in your psak from your Rav, then other Paisim, like Ramosha Feinstein, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they say that we do not go with such a leniency, and even that is not allowed. That's discussion number one as far as music. Discussion number two is what we call a cappella, or something to that effect, that you listen to music, and it's really not, perhaps it's not halachically music. There's no musical instruments being used. If people who are very talented and they make noises with their fingers or with their mouth and different ways, that it sounds mamish just like regular music. So the minig in Klal Yisrael is that we do listen to such music during Sfira. I know my wife, you know, she doesn't listen to music throughout the rest of the year. It's not like she's always has poor music. But for some reason, you know, and not just her, as many people, during Sfira, like, they have to listen to a cappella. Like, the whole year, they don't have music playing in the house. But during Sfira, everyone has to listen to a cappella. Fine, you know, you can't really stop somebody from doing that, because that is halachically accepted according to many Paiskim. You will find that there are some Paiskim that are very upset about such music. Because even if you say, yeah, technically, maybe it's not halachically music, but come on, it's really defeating the purpose. The point is, of course, that since the 24,000 students of Rabbi Kiva died, so we want to refrain from joyous activity. That music, we have accepted that music is considered a joyous activity, and that it could lead to dancing, and therefore we don't listen to music. So give me a break. You know, the fact that it's not, you know, from a musical instrument, but if you listen to it, you really could, first of all, you could hardly tell. And even if you could tell, but it's very sophisticated. You'll definitely find plenty of Paiskim that Rabbi Belsky and perhaps Rabbi Schechter, that they say that, you know, you really should not listen to such music during Sfira. But like I said, I'm not going to stop you from, definitely I can't stop you from listening to music. I don't stop my own family from listening to such music. So that is discussion number two, where a lot of people like to discuss when the halachas of listening to music during Sfira. Important halacha in regards to listening to music during Sfira is the following. Let's say a friend of mine is getting married. So now we're at the point of time where it's overlapped, and whether you hold the first day Sfira or second day Sfira, no one's getting married right now. But let's say someone got married last week because they were holding the second day Sfira. So for sure, at least the Chasan Kala, they had to hold the second day Sfira, and they got married, you know, before Rosh Chodesh. So let's say I'm holding the first days of Sfira, and they're very good friends of mine. Can I go to the wedding? There's for sure going to be music at the wedding, and there's for sure going to be dancing. That's another thing. You're not allowed to dance. You're not allowed to dance during Sfira. So am I allowed to go to that wedding? So the answer is that I am. The place can say you are allowed to go to the wedding. And the reason is because I'm not going for the music. I'm not going for the dancing. It's not like I said, oh, I want to go out dancing tonight. Where should I go? I won't go to the disco. Instead, I'll go to my friend's wedding. Of course not. I went for the purpose of the wedding. The fact that there happens to be music and dancing over there, I don't have to run out. I'm allowed to even partake of the music and the dancing. I don't have to wait outside in the hallway. Well, so you won't have anybody in the dance floor, because most people do hold to the first day Sfira, I think. So people who are there for the wedding, you're allowed to take part of the music and the dancing. That is, I think, accepted by most Paiskim. Perhaps there'll be some people that tell you that you shouldn't go ahead and actively dance, perhaps, but I think the minig alma is that if you're holding that day's Sfira, but you're going to a wedding because the family, at least the Chassan and the Kala, held of the other day's Sfira, you are allowed to partake in the wedding. Similarly, let's say I go into a store and I'm going shopping. So we have to discuss shopping during Sfira. But let's say I'm in a store and there's music playing in the store. And I'm not from Chaim Berlin, so even though it's on a tape recorder, it's on a recorder, but I don't listen to such music. But I'm not there to listen to the music. I'm just there because I'm going shopping. I'm not obligated to run out of the store. I'm allowed to continue shopping. I shouldn't stay in the store longer than I really need to because I just want to finish the song that's playing, but I just want to listen to the song. But if I'm there for the purpose of shopping, whether it's shopping for clothes or shopping for food, or I'm in some other, it doesn't have to be shopping. If I'm in some place that I hear music in the background, even if it happens to be that I'm enjoying the music, but I'm not there for the music, I shouldn't stand there and listen, you know, intently to enjoy the music. But if I'm doing my business and I happen to hear the music in the background, then also you're not obligated to run out. You're allowed to continue doing what you're doing. Yeah? Right, so young children, that's a very good question. So as far as young children is concerned, if they have reached the age of chinuch, chinuch means for each and every mitzvah by itself, if chinuch means that they're old enough that you're able to start teaching them that what it means to keep the mitzvos and to follow the ways that we do, whether it's a deraisa or derabanan. So if they have reached that age already, then also they should be told that they shouldn't be listening to music. If a person has a child, even if they're less than bar mitzvah, but they're 11, 12 years old, for sure they definitely have reached the age of chinuch in regards to not listening to music. Quite possibly even 10 or 9 or 8. Also for a girl, you know, 11 years old, 10, 9, 8, 7, you know, they've already reached a point where they could understand the concept that we don't listen to music. If you're 4-year-old, how old is Binyamin, right? He's 5, right? So if Binyamin is able to turn on the Uncle Moshe, and Uncle Moshe has music playing, so you don't have to stop him because they haven't reached the age of chinuch. They don't understand necessarily so much as far as not listening to music. You don't have to run out of the kitchen. You know, you don't have to run away. I'm sorry?
It's not enjoyable.
It's not enjoyable, right? Yeah, well, yeah, some of the songs are actually pretty good in Uncle Moshe. But, yeah, but... Yeah, so after the 30th time.
By the time you have a certain amount, that's number of kids.
True, definitely. But, okay, but then you can just go to volume 12 and volume 15. It's not a problem. But so for sure, if you don't enjoy it, it's not a problem. But even if it happens to be that you do enjoy it, you're busy cooking in the kitchen, and your kid turns on Uncle Moshe, and they're below the age of chinuch, again, according to the letter of the law, you're not obligated to shut it off or to tell them to shut it off. You know, if you do, perhaps that would be nice, and if you could explain it to them and they're not going to be upset, you know, perhaps there is, you know, perhaps a reason to do that, but according to the letter of the law, you're not obligated. They were the ones that turned it on. They're below the age of chinuch, and that will be allowed. As far as getting married, like we said before, a person is not allowed to get married during Sfira, although a person is allowed to get engaged. Getting engaged is permitted, right? I think your husband had mentioned that. Like, getting engaged is permitted. Now, you're even allowed to make a vart. Now, what we call a vart is just a bunch of people getting together, and it's not anything official, so that getting engaged is not a problem, and it could be even Erisin in the times of when they did Erisin and Nisuin separately. Erisin would be allowed, but a person is not allowed to dance. That's another lach. You're not allowed to dance during Sfira for the purpose of the enjoyment of dancing. And if you're the Chazan Kala, everyone wants to get together and start dancing by the vart, so that should be held back from doing that because that, you know, dancing for yourself, that should not be done during Sfira. You're allowed to cut your nails during Sfira. That is allowed. Even if the hair is not allowed, cutting the nails is allowed. As far as cutting a shetel, I looked around. I didn't see people discuss it. I don't think I found anyone that discusses it straight out as far as cutting a shetel during Sfira. I know, I was just telling someone today that a friend of mine one time asked my Rosh Hashiva in Shara Torah if his wife's allowed to cut her shetel during Sfira, and I just don't remember what he answered. So either yes or no. But I just don't remember what he... Right. So the question has definitely been asked, and I did a lot of research looking around. I do not remember seeing anyone explicitly if you could cut a shetel during Sfira. Definitely, okay, now already Sfira has started. But for the future, definitely, if you need to get a cut, definitely better to cut it before, I would imagine. But I'd have to do more research just to find out what the place can say about that. One last thing, as far as buying clothes during Sfira. So there are some people that do have the custom not to buy clothes during Sfira. According to the letter of the law, it is permitted to buy clothes during Sfira. There's nowhere does it say in the Mishnah Brura or something like that that you're not allowed to buy clothes during Sfira. There are some Sfarim that bring down that person should refrain from buying clothes during Sfira. Besides buying clothes during Sfira, there's another issue of wearing new clothes during Sfira. Meaning there's two separate issues. There's the buying of the clothes, and then there's wearing new clothes, whether it was bought during Sfira or whether it was bought before Pesach. The Mishnah Berurah says you're allowed to wear new clothes during Sfira. So, and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you could follow that. Technically you're allowed to wear new clothes during Sfira, even though perhaps someone who's an Avel, a real Avel, would not be allowed, but are Avelos during Sfira, a person will be allowed to wear new clothes during Sfira. There's a big discussion as far as making the bracha of Shechayanu during Sfira. If a person wears a new item of clothing, say a very expensive outfit, a very expensive suit, not something that you buy all the time, like a pair of shoes, a pair of socks, or just a skirt or a top, that we wouldn't say Shechayanu, but there are certain items of clothing, like a very expensive dress, a very expensive outfit, or let's say a chashuv suit that a man wears, a person perhaps would say Shechayanu. During Sfira, there are plenty of people that say that you should refrain from saying Shechayanu during the times of Sfira. What they suggest is, I think the Mishnah Berurah says you are allowed to say Shechayanu during Sfira, but there are those that say you shouldn't. What's recommended is that if a person has a new outfit during Sfira and they want to wear it, so they should wear it for Shabbos, especially if it's an expensive outfit. Anyways, you're probably going to wear it on Shabbos, not during the week, if it's on the level of a Shechayanu type of outfit. So you wear it during Shabbos, then that's, you know, that velus is not as strong, and therefore we find that you know, that's more lenient, and a person will be allowed to wear that new item and then say Shechayanu at that point. Okay, I think that basically covers what, you know, you would need to know for Sfira. As far as other Lama Tesmalachos, Bez Hashem, you know, we'll be able to continue next week.